Financial Matters.
16 minutes after 8 o'clock, and Sis Wendy Celebi is here with me, former executive for financial wellness at Nedbank. She's retired now, and she's going to be talking to us about the lessons that she's learned since retirement. So, young and old, yeah? Join us in this conversation, because I think that there's going to be some deep insights as to what does retirement mean, yeah? We'll have a conversation with Sis Wendy one day about what does 63 billion mean. You well, Sis Wendy?
I'm very well.
Thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate you coming through and talking to us.
Yeah.
Retirement for many people is a luxury. Many people will go to the grave while they still work. I would like the option for myself to decide whether I want to retire or not. But what is retirement? What does that mean?
Well, hey, retirement is different things to different people.
Right.
But under general, retirement is when the time for you to be formally employed comes to an end.
Right.
So, I mean, companies, you know, whether it's government or companies, have got retirement ages that you can't work beyond. So if you look at the banking world, it's 60. In other spaces, ki 63. In others, ki 65. But those
sometimes
are
sometimes it's gendered, right? Like 60 for women, or so, is that
not really? No,
not really,
no,
not
no,
anymore.
No,
yeah.
No,
okay.
No, no. Yeah. Right. So then you decide, or based on where you are working, then if their retirement age is 63, then at 63 you have to go. Whether you want to stay on or not, the time has come. So that's what retirement is, you know, under general, how we understand it. For me, retirement means that a chapter has ended, a new chapter starts. So with other people, when they reach retirement, it's like it's the end, you know, they don't have a vision for
right.
the next phase of life. And that can have detrimental, you know, consequences. Because, I mean, think about it. If you started working like me at age 23, and then you finish work at 60, for 37 years, you've been waking up every day with a dream, with a vision, with purpose, you know, with deadlines, being in there, doing all kinds of things. And then it stops abruptly.
What had you been thinking about retirement prior to retirement? Had you been thinking about it?
Yeah. So I was quite aware that it was coming.
Yeah.
And I was excited about it until it happened.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, I used to count down, you know, at work. I would tell them, hey, 1 year to go. I'm going to be waltzing out, you know. And I would be counting down 8 months to go, 7 months to go. So I was really looking forward to it. Probably because I had other things that I wanted to do. So I had kind of pre-planned what I want to do post-retirement.
This is a financial show, right? So we're going to talk about finances.
Mm.
But I imagine that most people that are thinking about retirement are thinking about retirement generally and mostly about the financial side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that there's other things about retirement that people don't think about. I just want to jump in, interrupt our conversation for something here that a lot of people are coming. Apparently, I got it wrong. It wasn't Blackie Swart who sang Exo Kundun with the Malune, but it looks like there's quite a few people who are said to have originally come up with that song. George Weill, a very good friend of the show. He strikes me as a very strict individual, George. He says, Lucas Marie did Exo Kundun met a Malune originally, not Blackie Swart. I've seen Blackie Swart perform it, so I apologize. And Joe Boy says, no, it was Randall Whitcomb who did Exo Kundun met a Malune. You know the song I'm talking about?
No,
Exo Kondun met a million. Anyway, the sentiment is out there. But the question, though, that I wanted to ask is what, when you were thinking about retirement, prior to retirement, and maybe, let's say, 5 years prior to retirement, then maybe 2 years prior to retirement, was it the same kinds of stuff that you were thinking about, or was it generally just about the finances and that?
It was a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
Financially, you start scrutinizing these statements that you get about your pension or provident fund. I mean, when you get them, you know, if your statement comes as an example, say 10 million, you think it's a lot of money. But when you look at what is happening now, the rising food prices, everything just going up. And when you think about what inflation has done to that money, so you start really applying your mind to say, how long is this money going to carry me? So you also look at your context, your family. In my family line, people live long. I have an aunt in Canada now. Last week, she turned 95. My aunts are in their late 80s. My grandmother passed away at 103. So these are things I was thinking about. Rio, this money that I'm going to receive, that looks like a lot, will it carry me until, you know, the Lord remembers me, or is it going to run out?
So and I imagine thoughts around the lifestyle, the kind of lifestyle that you've become accustomed to as an employed person, versus the fact that next month there's no salary.
That too, because and once you do those calculations, you quickly realize, Jorge, you're probably going to earn, depending on how you planned, you're probably going to earn 30% less than what you used to earn, or 40 or 50. So it really depends on how people have learned, but it is a reality that you can, it's very few people that can go on retirement and still earn 100%. Those are people who've really done well, invested, you know, from day one. And that's something that's very important. I hope we can go back to that time, you know. And so you start thinking about it. And when you sit with a financial planner or financial coach and you go, you crunch the numbers, then you start sweating. Because you realize, Jorge, in order for me, because in my family, people live so much longer, it means the chances of me living longer are there. And I might, the money might run out. And I don't want to be a burden on my children or family.
Yeah.
So then you have to sit and think, well, okay, if I take this amount, it will last me up to age 85 or 90.
Is that a big consideration, I suppose, for people that are going into retirement, that I don't want to be a burden to my family? Is that like a thing that occupies the mind?
I don't know, but for me it was. And the reason why for me is because I was writing a manual for finances while I was still at work, and I did a bit of research, and one of these pension houses had done, they just released a research survey they had done, and the shocking statistic they had there was that out of every 10 people going on retirement, only 2 have prepared adequately. The other 8 will have to continue working or depend on their kids and so on and so forth. And that, for me, woke me up. And I then dug deeper into my finances. And I guess in everything that we were doing at the time, the education we did was to highlight some of those things. And I mean, also research that I also came across said that women live 20 years longer than their male counterparts after retirement. So what that means is that as women, chances are we will live as widows, look after the children, the grandchildren. I mean, life, the parents pass away and leave the children.
Yes.
So all of those things really made me think and rethink, because they were here. I was engaging with them, so they woke me up to, you know, some truths I was not aware of, and so I went about, teaching about them, speaking about them, and saying to women, wake up, you know, check your finances. Don't be relaxed and think what you see on paper will carry you through. So those considerations came about as I was doing the research.
You know? Mama Wendy Selebi is here with me, former executive for financial wellness at Nedbank. We're talking about retirements and all the considerations around retirement. Pre, during, and post retirement, I suppose. You can't be at post retirement. Can you be post retirement?
Yeah, I'm post. I'm out.
So you're the other side.
I'm the other side. Yeah.
Would you like to tell?
You can't. From the other side.
Give us a call. Are you thinking about retirement? What are the considerations? What are you worried about? What are you settled on? I'd love to take those calls on 011-883-0702. Then you went into retirement. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yo, I went into retirement, and I must be honest, like I said to you, I'd sorted out.
What did that feel like? Mm. What did retirement feel like?
Okay, so, for the 2 years, COVID, we worked from home. And then and my birthday is in Jan. And, you know, with retirement, you go on retirement kayo birthday month. So on the 31st of Jan, I drove to the head office here in St. And I thought, yo, let me go there for the last time, you know. And I was relaxed about it, and go and get some of my stuff that's still there. Kinda today is my last day. And yes. I drove there. And I was amazed when I got into the parking, when I took out my card to tap it. There were just some emotions that flooded me.
Yo.
And then I started crying. I think the securities were not sure. The guys at the gate were not sure what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because then the reality struck me. Khurkana, you are tapping your card for the last time as a permanent employee. The next time you come in, you'll come in as a visitor. Somebody will escort you there. Kana, tomorrow, you won't have the power that you've always had, commanding people, having big budgets, sitting in Brexco, Exco meetings. It comes to an end today. So all those emotions,
the status of it all,
it's gone,
the predictability of it all,
it's gone,
the sanity it provides, right? Yeah. Like, okay,
so you know, you experience this lost thing, or my goodness, I'm losing, you know, the power, the prestige, especially for people who are in these top positions.
Yeah.
And then I drove in and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't even think I would cry, you know. And that's what happened. But I guess I was fortunate or blessed enough to stay on for another 8 months while they were still looking for Dr. Frank. So I stayed on, and that helped me. Then I worked 3 days a week. So I was off Friday.
Hey, where's that guy?
I worked Friday. I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
And then that prepared me.
Okay.
You know, for what was to
come. And I'm told that Dr. Frank will be back with us next week. All right, so let's take some calls. Mm-hmm. JK is in Pretoria. Hi, JK.
Oh, JK, my former boss.
Hello, bro.
Yeah, hi, bro, JK.
You know who you've got there?
I know who I've got. I've got there. I've just discovered who I've got now on the phone. She says, JK, my former boss.
Oh, yeah. Don't be a sellout to it. bro, you've got a great lead.
Thank you, my brother. We are honored.
Let me tell you one thing she didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
She was head of the entire Nedbank staff banking.
Yeah.
She's short selling herself. When I was Wendy, when?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyhow, bro, obviously, you've got a great lady there.
But JK, I know it, my brother. I'm sitting in the presence of greatness, absolutely.
Yeah, the shorty. They say Dana must come in small packages.
Thank you, JK.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, JK.
Thanks, JK. I know that that call is supposed to wake us up to a particular reality. And that's the reality of when retirement happens, all of the trappings of your success in your job, all of the symbolisms, all of the power, as you said, all of the status stops.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. And so for me, I always say to people, it's the death of one vision. If you don't give birth to something new, if you don't give birth to a new purpose in life, then you are in trouble. And so that's the most important thing that people need to start planning for, to say, when that day comes, what am I going to do after that day? The following day, when you wake up in the morning, what's your next move?
Let's talk to Gloria in the Vaal. Good evening to you, Gloria.
Hi, evening, Baos. How are you?
I'm well, Gloria. What is on your mind, Mama?
Oof, I have a question for Mama here. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Gloria.
If it's okay. My mother, she's a school principal, right? She turned 60 this December, so she has to go on pension. Mama, every time I bring up the conversation that about her plans, preparing her, what she has in mind financially, she does not want to talk about it because she's not ready to let go. You know, she's used to being so in control. Mm. But what worries me is Hannah plan. Mm. And it freaks me out.
Yeah.
So what I would like to know from you, what conversation should I bring up? How should I go about it? And with regards to the finances, where should we start?
Yeah. It's actually a very tough one, Gloria, because the truth of the matter is Mama has got this fear. Yahore, I'm going to lose, you know, I'm going to have this loss, you know, and the of control. And also, you know, with our parents, they don't like talking to us, their children, about money matters.
And their own vulnerabilities, right?
And their own vulnerabilities, So I would recommend that maybe if Honali, somebody else that's a friend that's already on retirement, or someone that she's close to, that can start bringing up those conversations with her. Or she must bring up that conversation somewhere, somehow. Because when it's you, they clam up and they don't want to talk about that because probably she's also worked out the mathematics. It's not mathematicking, and so she can't communicate with you. So I would recommend that you do that.
I think that's very, very, very key. Thanks, Gloria. Much appreciated. So please find somebody that she is comfortable to be vulnerable around. Yeah. Our parents don't like to be vulnerable around us.
True.
So maybe that's the psychological issue there that Mama Wendy is bringing for us there. Chimbuzi on Twitter says, retirement hits differently when you see the finiteness of your salary. Yep. For example, 500 pay slips to go. Better make them last, says Chimbuzi. When Gloria calls in and says, I'm talking to my mom about this and there's no plan. Should there be a plan?
There must be a plan. And that plan must be at least put in place 3 to 4 years before retirement. The first plan is to pay off all your debts. Going into retirement with debts is detrimental. Because your income has reduced drastically. And so you can't be having...
If at all, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can't be having debts. And if you're thinking of doing something, start it while you are still working. A lot of people will take their money, you know, a third of their pension and start a business. And then it fails, you know, in retirement. Sure. And that brings anxiety, stress. And then they have issues. You know, some of them to a point where they pass away, stress. So do all, prepare everything. You know, pay off your debts. If you want to buy a new car, buy it a few years before you go on retirement, 3 years or so, and pay it off. Don't, you know, get into big debts when you are 2 years or 3 years away from retirement. So that is critical, you know.
When we think retirement, most of us, we're thinking not working. Mm. I mean, generally speaking, you say to somebody, what are you going to do for retirement? People think about sitting in the sun and chilling, right?
Yeah.
But is it possible to think about retirement as another phase of working, but in a different way?
Yeah. For me, that's what it is right now. It's another phase of working, but there are no deadlines. There's no stress, study strategic meetings, the you know, all the things that come with corporate, they are not there. So I'm now doing the things that I've always wanted to do, that I've loved, that were my passion, and it doesn't feel like work. And yet, I'm busier than when I was working.
Right.
And so, it is a new phase where, I mean, I've just finished, I've written my book. I'm launching it on the 25th.
That's got to be something that's a must read, yeah?
On the 25th of May, I'm launching my book. That's something.
Well, will you come and talk to us about it? Yeah,
I will. And sure. I'll invite you to the launch.
Sure, absolutely,
And I talk about the money mistakes that I made. And the lessons that people can learn from them. So I'm open about the fact that despite the fact that I worked for a financial institution, I made some blunders. And I share about those.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's intellectual giant sends me a message on the WhatsApp line. Says, intellectual giant, it's Linda from Diploof here. Are there any investment vehicles that can help you retire anytime before you're 40 years old?
That's such a great question. You know, on my podcast, I have a podcast on financial literacy. I think it's episode 17. It was posted 4 weeks ago. I speak to a young lady who retired at 52 comfortably. She pays herself a salary that she used to get in corporate. No stress whatsoever, because she planned well. And what I would like to say to him is that, I don't know if it's a him or a lady, Linda, it's just to say, sit with a financial planner and they will help you. Tell them, I want to retire at 40. And then they craft a plan for you that will get you to retire at 40. So anything is possible. You just need to plan and plan well. I mean, with this lady, she set 5-year goals and she decided that at 52, I'm retiring. And that's where she's at right now.
When we get to retirement, we've done the thinking, we've done the planning, we've done all of that stuff, and we go through the shock of going through the doorway where you realize it's the last job, and all of the emotions come, and you're flooded by all of that stuff. Is part of that emotional moment about finances?
It's about everything.
Yeah.
It's also about, I mean, the social part.
Yeah.
I remember, if you've been coming to work, we spend almost 90 or 80% of our day at work, and 10% or 20% at home. And now you're going to be spending 100% at home. And isn't it amazing that when we are couples, we both leave the house and we go to work and we meet in the evening, depending on what your relationship is like. Probably if you're not a couple that engages, that sits together, that, sits and asks each other, how was your day, and plan together and so on. When you go on retirement, you both wake up. So chances are you both go on retirement. Here you are, you're sitting with this stranger now, because for all these years, you only saw this stranger for 10% of your time because you probably didn't engage much. So there's also those relationships. And you also lose relationships at work. Even though we don't go to work to make friends, but the people that we work with, that our acquaintances, they become part of our circle.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so those, you know, and once you're outside, they always say when you're outside of, you know, any organization, then you'll feel the cold. And those are some of the realities. Some people are not socially out there. They don't have friends. So their work was their everything.
You know, I've had conversations about the empty nest syndrome.
Mm. Yeah.
Once the kids have left.
Uh-huh. It's just the two of you.
And it's just the two of you and you. You invested so much of your energy in the raising of the children that you didn't invest any of that energy
in your relationship.
In a dynamic relationship that changes according to various aspects of life.
Yeah.
And when the kids are there, you actually find that you're strangers. You don't know who you are. And you're saying to me that it's the same sort of reality with getting to a place where you're at home with your spouse that you saw only after work and during breakfast when you were going home, going to work. And you now need to reacquaint yourself with each other.
Yeah. So that's why so important that you have to, while you're still, you know, chasing your careers and doing all of these things, to spend quality time.
Also, and it sounds to me like thinking about realities of retirement has got to be a very deliberate affair.
Yeah? Very, very. And you know, it doesn't start at age 38, 40, 50. It starts right at the beginning. From the first day that you set foot at work, when your career begins, you are one step away from retirement. So if you have a family and if you have a husband or a wife or whatever you have to be deliberate about spending quality time with your children, with your spouse, because you are preparing for such a time as this, so that the transition is smoother. What makes it even more challenging is if you don't have a relationship with your kids or even with your husband, with your spouse, and then there you are alone. And then that loneliness can be detrimental.
One of the devastating effects of the lockdown moment during that COVID moment was the fact that people that weren't accustomed, even though they were married or they were in committed relationships,
to being together.
They just weren't accustomed to being together. And then they began to discover things about each other that they didn't really like, that they were probably able to overlook while they had the distraction of going to work. But once that distraction is removed and you've got to be with this person the whole time, one person described it as, this person drives me up the wall and round the bend. and I thought to myself, so this means we've got to also learn how to be with each other.
We have to do that. And I must say, I'm grateful for that COVID time, that it also helped, because I was already 2 years away from retirement. So we could spend time together, even if Nerhatana di cons and all of that. But that time also helped a lot for me.
So it's also about perhaps discovering new interests, new hobbies. Talk to me about that.
Well, for me, there's nothing new that I'm doing per se.
Also, the podcast and everything.
Okay, well,
book writing.
Yeah. Okay, there are new hobbies in a way. And also I'm studying, by the way. So 2 or 3 or 4 years before retirement, I started studying. I did an undergrad in theology. And last year, I completed an honors. This year,
hello, honor, honor, mom, sebelezi nyana. So,
mom, sebelezi. So now I'm doing a master's this year. So those are just some of the things that I am doing that are keeping me going. And yes, you know, the podcast is something that, you know, just was born out of the gaps that I had identified while I was working, or some of the literacy programs that we do have got gaps. So
One of the gripes I have with the whole sort of regime that says that at a certain age you must go and retire is that it exits people that have developed not only the competence in whatever field that they've been in, but the temperance to exercise that competence, the insight into the operations of what. So I generally have the sense that we're losing so much when we lose our experienced people because of this thing called retirement age, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But surely this is an opportunity for society to recognize the hoardy heads, right? To recognize that here we now have wisdom. That's why I'm loving the fact that you've got a podcast, you've written a book, because I think that it's no longer just a matter of technical know-how, but it's technical know-how in the context of experience and wisdom and temperance.
Yeah.
And I imagine that if we could have a conversation about retirement and say that that is your next phase, I suppose, yeah? The phase of nurturing, of wisdom impartation.
Yeah.
Do you find that that's the case with you?
Definitely, that's what it is. And I'm also a coach. So I am coaching young professionals, you know, that are in the workplace. And I'm blessed to coach a few from Nedbank. And I also remain serving on some of their trusts as a trustee. So, you know, I'm still giving, nurturing, others, that institutional, you know, memory and all of that. So still sharing it. So yes, it is a time like that where you begin to give of yourself freely. You know, you mentor, you coach, and all of those things.
Surely it can't be all freely, eh? I mean, there's bills to pay.
No, there's bills to pay.
Yeah. So while there is that magnanimity and that readiness to impart knowledge and wisdom, more importantly for me, you know, I need to have a conversation with you also, Wendy, as to what is wisdom. We had a conversation yesterday with another coach about what is intimacy. I think that wisdom is an under-talked about virtue.
Yeah.
Because we are so technical, you know.
Yeah,
and I think that is something that people in your space, in your mind space, in your life space can talk to.
Yeah.
The wisdom aspect of life rather than just how to do the thing that I'm supposed to do it. But the application of wisdom in that, yeah?
Exactly. Because, you know, for you to survive in the corporate world, it's not about the knowledge.
Yeah.
It's about having the wisdom to know how to play this corporate game, because really it is a corporate game, and you don't want to rock up at a rugby match with cricket tools, you know. So yes, that wisdom is really critical, especially for the young people that are you know, entering the work life, and they can truly find it very difficult to navigate.
I just saw when you were speaking to Gloria earlier. I suppose somebody else would have said, no. Your mother must But the fact that you said, no, the problem might not be that she doesn't have a plan.
Mm.
It might be that she doesn't. Not comfortable with sharing it with you as her child. And, and that has to do with the way that we are brought up to say you don't show vulnerabilities to your children because you might scare them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so in a nutshell, how much should you have saved in order for you to
retire comfortably?
As a rule of thumb. Is there such a thing?
I want to say it would depend on each person's goals, what is in their financial plan, what they want to achieve. That, and that's why it's so critical that from the beginning, one must sit down and craft and say, okay, I'm 25. I want to retire at 55 or at 50. Okay, then you work back to say, if you want to retire and this is what you earn, and probably in that by the time you retire, this money would mean so much. Then, you know, the experts are able to sit with you and say what it means is that in order for you to retire comfortably and not have issues, you need to save so much now in these financial instruments. And of course you review them all the time and make sure that you are still headed towards your goals. So I think it's different for each person. It's about your goals, it's about your vision, it's about the things you want to achieve. And that's why it's so important that each and every person must have a vision, must have a goal.
You must happen to your retirement.
Yes,
your retirement can't just happen to you. In other words, you're saying to us that we've got to be active in the creation of the reality of our retirement rather than be passive about it.
Exactly. Because if you are passive, retirement will find you.
Oh my.
Yeah, and when it finds
chills down my back. let's speak to Teboho in Centurion. Hi, Teboho.
Good evening, bro. Sure. Good evening, Susis Wendy.
Teboho
Tatana speaking here. I have worked many years with Susis Wendy. I'm happy to hear that she's still working on retirement counseling. And we would be appreciative if you can continue to keep in touch with her and learn the ins and outs for potential retirees going into the future. But I hear that she's also emphasizing on the question of how you retire well.
Mm.
And me and her, we always used to say, you can never save enough towards retirement fund. Mm-hmm. The more you can put, the better for you.
Yeah.
Instead, if we say you have retired well, Braobri, try and target a net replacement ratio. And net replacement ratio simply means what will be your pensionable salary leading to retirement must at least give you 80% of the income you were earning leading to retirement.
Right.
Simple example, you are earning 100,000 going on retirement.
Yeah.
Your pensionable 80% is 80,000. So when you go on retirement, target 80,000 per annum to earn from your retirement savings, but then you would have retired well.
Sure.
But you also cannot rely on the retirement savings income. Get something that will keep you busy or bring you additional income as Wendy has said.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't start that business with the capital using your retirement savings. Start it 5 or 6 years before you go and retire. It looks after itself. Once you go on retirement, you know that I've got this to keep me busy whilst I'm earning my income, then you would have retired well. But people, bra ops, they go on retirement and then they say they want to start a business. And I always used to say one thing to Sis Wendy. God was never crazy. God will never be go crazy. You've never had a business, bra ops, for 6 years. What makes you think that it will succeed from your 61 years?
KFC, Bratessa. KFC. Colonel Saunders.
You are going to use 80% of the retirement savings to buy a franchise before you get a
start. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Lovely to hear from you.
NK says, good evening, Robs. Is it at all possible to calculate one's pension or equity retirement worth at any given time while still employed?
I think he just answered that. I think that the best is to sit with a financial planner. They'll be able to work that out for you and to tell you exactly, like Tebogo has just given us that formula to say you need to target to earn a certain percentage of your income. So if you want to retire comfortably and you think, okay, I can't live on 25% or 30% or 50%, nakibatla 85%, then you work towards making sure that all the money that you've got in your retirement will cover that 80% for the rest of the time that you have here on earth.
Marley says, hi, Aubrey. It's extremely important to inspire and prepare people for retirement, especially given the high unemployment rate in South Africa. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then Beverly Barkhazen says, Aubrey, you need between 15 times to 20 times your annual salary requirements in order to retire fairly comfortably, says Beverly Barkhazen. And then Tony says, Orbs, regarding this interview with Mamwendi from Tony in Pretoria North, this is the most interesting, the most humane interview about retirement rather than just the money aspects. Mm. It's a pity that most, if not all, companies do not prepare employees psychologically for retirement. Wendy may even speak about the high death rate among retirees within a few years of retiring. And you touched on that.
Yeah, I did.
About how people can sometimes, because of the stress of it all, perhaps even the loneliness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get to a place where they think this is not worth fighting for anymore. Yeah.
And maybe also before I go, I also want to say, you know, these days I've noted that there are unscrupulous people out there. I don't know how they get the information, but they're targeting retirees, people who've retired with, you know, pension money that's not looking too good, and they promise them all kinds of things to say, if you give us your 1 million, we'll turn it into 3 million in 2 weeks, you know. And I just want to say, you know, that microwave success doesn't work. I think we all need to be intentional about our retirement and plan well, because these get quick rich schemes don't work.
If it's too good, sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right?
It is, yeah.
I want to end off by saying, for those who are perhaps in relative youth, and that really can vary. We sometimes think that it goes on forever. We think that there's time forever.
There's no time.
And it sounds to me, based on this conversation, that the reality of retirement comes to you faster than you can blink sometimes.
From day one.
And it's important to, from day one,
to save for retirement.
Sis Wendy, how do people get a hold of you? And tell me about the podcast, man. Where do we find the podcast?
It's on YouTube.
Right.
It's called Let's Talk Money with Wendy Silebi. I bring experts on the podcast and we talk about everything and anything. Certified financial planners. And in the coming months, I'm going to do a home loan series from beginning to end. The ins and outs, the do's and don'ts. So those are some of the things, but it's very, very...
How do we get a hold of you?
I am on Facebook, I am on Instagram, and I'm simple. I use my name, and even my YouTube is my name.
Uswendi Silebi, thank you so much for joining.